Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus could come in 1988. I preached this morning upon the coming of the Lord. In many of our pulpits across the land, no longer do we hear the message of the rapture of the church about hell, about right living, purity, and holiness. But friends, Jesus is going to come. The Word declares it. We sing about it, we preach about it, we teach on it, we pray for it, and one of these days, the eastern sky is going to light up like a noonday sun, and Jesus is going to step from the corridors of heaven, shout with the voice of the archangel, and this dispensation is going to be over. Hallelujah. If you've got any corns, they're going to be gone. If you've got arthritis, it's going to be gone. If you've got limbs that aren't functioning, your limbs are going to function just as God intended for them to. Friends, when Jesus comes, everything's going to be right. Amen. Young people, as well as older folk, the Lord is coming. You'll not go to heaven on my experience. You'll go to heaven on your own experience. Amen. It's very likely that Jesus will come in 1988. Believe that. It's very likely that Jesus will come in 1988. So that places our plans and our future in a whole different light when we believe that Jesus could come before the end of this year. I believe we should plan and prepare. The Bible says we're to occupy until He comes. But I believe it should all be contingent upon the coming of the Lord. Not holding too tightly to the things of this world, but looking and listening for the coming of our Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. How many, you're kind of afraid of flying? Just one? How many, when you go up an airplane, you take Dramamine about an hour and a half before you take off? Get ready. Remember the time we were privileged to fly to Israel, or as we flew to Amman, Jordan, and I had flown once before. My wife had never flown, and so they were talking to her about taking Dramamine, getting her system ready, you know, and she kept asking me, well, do you think you ought to take some? Nah, man, I've flown before. No big deal. You know, I'm tough. I can handle a flight. And so we took off out of Oklahoma City, touched down in St. Louis. And before we got to St. Louis, I was sicker than a dog. And she was over there going, wow, looky here. And I was going, oh, don't talk to me. Beautiful thing about the rapture of the church is you won't have to take any Dramamine. You don't have to be worried about heights. I don't know how the Lord's going to do it. I'm not crazy even about tree houses. I mean, my kind of tree house is on the ground. You just kind of slide in. The only one I've ever had, I fell out on a barbed wire fence and cut my knee and had to have 14 stitches. So I'm not crazy about tree houses. But the Lord has got it all figured out somehow. He's going to bring it together. Praise God. Hallelujah. And from all over this world, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the church is going to be gone. We're going to be with the Lord, and tribulation time is going to begin for 7 terrible years on this earth. But friend, if you know the Lord and you're looking for His return, you're going to be with Him. Amen. You began to compare the things that you have, whether it be finances or talent or future promise or houses or cars, it has no light in comparison to eternity with God. Amen. So I encourage you tonight, hang loosely to the things of this world. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Be a good warrior, ready to meet the Lord. I want to preach to you tonight on the promise of Passover. We're going to close this service tonight with communion. The Lord seemed to open some truths to me that I had never seen before. And I'm excited about sharing them with you tonight. How many is excited about hearing them? Well, that's about 70%. Praise God. Amen. Luke chapter 22 and verse 7. As Jesus was approaching crucifixion, then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat." They said unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare?" And he said unto them, "Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the goodman of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is thy guest chamber? For I shall eat the Passover with my disciples. He shall shew you a large upper room furnished. There make ready." And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. When the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, now notice this 13th verse, "With desire, I had desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. I have been looking forward to eating this Passover with you. I have been longing for it. And there's got to be a reason why. Would you bow your heads tonight as we ask God's blessing on the Word? Father, I love you tonight. I sense your presence here in just a beautiful way. I thank God for the church. I thank God for your people. I thank you, Lord, that you've given us friends to go to heaven with. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord, that you have given us the weaponry that we need to overcome any onslaught of the devil. And Lord, that you've not created us for defeat, but for victory. You promised us that we could be more than overcomers and more than conquerors through the power and the blood of the Lamb. And Lord, I pray that you will touch these lips tonight and this heart. And Lord, let me and help me share this word with this congregation. And Lord, that it will stir and inspire and encourage and uplift their hearts tonight. Another feeding around the table, God, and help me to feed your sheep. In your precious name, I thank you for it and believe you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Why did Jesus desire to eat Passover with his disciples, as he mentioned in our text tonight? There are two reasons that the Lord has brought to my mind for this particular message tonight. If you have a piece of paper and pencil and you want to jot it down or mark it in your Bibles, I think that not only will it be a blessing to you tonight, but in the days to come, when you recognize that this Passover meal was not only for the 12, but it is for us today. Why did Jesus desire to eat of this Passover meal so earnestly as he did in Luke chapter 22? The first reason that the Holy Spirit has revealed to me is that it was providing promised salvation. Passover meal was going to provide a promised salvation to not only the 12 disciples, but to everyone that believeth in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you still have your Bibles open, turn with me back to Exodus chapter 12. In Exodus chapter 11 and 12, we see that Israel was held in Egyptian bondage. They're enslaved and abused and mistreated by the Egyptians for many, many hundreds of years. They had no future. They had no hope. They were controlled as a puppet on a string. But Jesus found a man named Moses, and he said, "Moses, I want you to go and let my people go." wants you to go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to loose the children of Israel, my people, and let them go. You know the story. Pharaoh would not consent, so God in turn sent many plagues, frogs, lice, flies, hail, locusts, and darkness. It was plagues upon Egypt to persuade Pharaoh to let God's people go. Finally, the last plague was the firstborn being threatened. We look in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. Verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Verse 11, and thus shall ye eat of it, with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to put this all together for you tonight. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite or kill all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. How many firstborns do we have here tonight? How many here? Come on, lift them up high. About six or seven. If you were Egyptians, you would be dead today. Makes you kind of want to be a middle child or the baby, doesn't it? But God said, I will pass through Egypt this night and will kill all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. God said, you're to take the lamb and kill this lamb and place the blood on the doorposts and above the top of the door. And when the death angel passes over at midnight, if you are covered by the blood, you will be spared. You will be protected from death that is going to come as a result of the last plague. You read in Exodus chapter 12, this is exactly what happened. Every firstborn, the Bible says in Exodus chapter 12, that there was not a household of Egypt that did not have a firstborn that died that night. Even the firstborn of the cattle, even the firstborn of the sheep, every animal, the firstborn was slain by the death angel because they were not covered by the blood. As a result, we know that Pharaoh said, take the children of Israel and get them out of here. They who was in bondage because they were covered by the blood and protected. They were set free. God led them out of Egyptian bondage. He gave them a new name. He gave them hope of the promised land. And they began on their journey home. My friend, you and I, when we are in sin, we are in Egyptian bondage. We are controlled and enslaved. But Jesus said that when the blood covers your life, it cleanses you. It sets you totally free. It gives you new hope. It gives you a promise of heaven. And you walk from that place not controlled by the old world or the old man or the old habits, but the blood of the Lamb sets you totally free. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so after that occasion, every year Israel, stay with me tonight, every year Israel celebrated the Feast of Passover. They would slay the lambs, and God would place their sins on hold for another year, because the blood of the Lamb cannot cleanse you from sin. And Jesus knew all this was taking place, and he knew that Israel was looking for an eternal sacrifice, an eternal salvation. And Jesus was saying to his disciples that night, I desire to eat Passover with you tonight, because this is what is going to begin the event that is going to take my life as I give it freely to those. But because that I am the perfect, unspotted, unblemished Lamb of God, I am going to be a once and for all sacrifice. Never again will you have to go and offer a lamb for your sins, but my sacrifice and my blood that is shed on old Golgotha is going to stand through the eons of time. And any time a sinner comes to the altar and is bound by sin and enslaved by the world, they can come to me, because the sacrifice has already been given, and all they have to do is look to heaven and look to Calvary, and I will set them free eternally. Hallelujah. Someone shout glory. Praise God. Amen. The Lord knew that Passover was going to provide an eternal salvation. An eternal salvation for not only Israel, but for every one of us that are here tonight. Praise God. And so Jesus said to his disciples, I desire to eat this Passover with you, because the promised salvation is going to come as a result of my sacrifice for you. Praise God. Now, the second thing the Lord has brought to my mind, and this is kind of the foundation of what I gave you, okay? This is the meat of what the Lord has laid into my heart. And it'll just take me a little while to expound it tonight. How many is nice and cool? Comfortable? Good, because I'm hot. So you don't have any complaints tonight. You're sitting on hard pews, but I'm staying on a hot platform. Okay? Amen. So we're even. So as long as I can stand without fainting, you can sit there without fainting. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You've already given the offering. We want you to get your money's worth. Amen. The second reason why the Lord wanted so much to eat the Passover with his disciples. Turn back to Luke chapter 21 or 22 and look with me there. There is two scriptures that I have never totally understood, but the Lord opened my understanding as I was reading these passages of scriptures. Verse 15, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. But I want you to notice verse 16 and verse 18. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. In other words, this is going to be the last time that I am going to eat and drink with you for a long time. For a long time. I never have totally understood what Jesus was talking about. But that something began to click inside of me as the Holy Spirit began to touch my heart. The Lord, in this setting and in this scripture, was not only promising them salvation, but the Lord was proposing marriage to these disciples. He was proposing marriage. How many of you men remember when you proposed to your wife? Huh? Do you remember? How many of you got down on your knees? Nobody? I didn't either. How many of you went and talked to the dad? Stammering lips. You remember? How many of you wives are the ones that proposed? This is the thing today. I don't agree with it, and I think it's crazy. Still think girls shouldn't call guys. And I think guys ought to come to the house when they come over. My daughter's just not going to run out to the curb if some dude's sitting out there. Hallelujah. Is that good? Amen. I still believe in God. I opened the door for the young lady. I don't practice that all the time, but me and my wife's been married for 16 years. That's no excuse. So I'll work on that. But I still believe it's proper. The Lord was proposing to his disciples. And I want you to understand, and I want you to get this tonight because it's beautiful. A young Jewish man, when he found a lady that made his heart skip a beat and could not get her perfume out of his nostrils for a week at a time, and dreamed about this young lady, and when he would see her come walking across the field in Judea, he would melt like butter. When he found this one and he knew that she was the right one, he would go to her house with a cup of wine. And he would set this cup of wine before this young lady. And if this young lady would take the cup of wine and drink it, it was yes to your proposal. But if she would not, if she would allow the wine to set there, then it was a refusal to his proposal. He would leave dejected. The young bride-to-be accepted the cup. Oh, the joy that filled this young Jewish man's heart as she drank the wine down. He was so elated because, I mean, she was one good-looking lady. On a scale from 1 to 10, she had already pegged the scale. And man, there was no one else but her. And as she picked up that cup, I mean, his hands began to tremble and excitement and joy began to build in his heart. She has accepted my proposal. Did they get married immediately? Did they begin to make plans for the wedding? No. The young Jewish man would leave the bride-to-be and go back home and began to build a wedding home or cottage for his wife-to-be. And he had up to 2 years to prepare the home for his bride, completely furnishing the house and getting it ready. In the meantime, the bride-to-be, every midnight, had promised her bridegroom-to-be that she would have the windows open and the lamp sitting beside her bed with oil in it, ready to light. And she would be there waiting for the return of the bridegroom, knowing not at what hour that he would return, but knowing that he would return. With an expectant heart and anticipation that ruled and motivated her. Every evening around midnight, she would rise from her bed, no doubt, and look out the window and think, could this be the night that I hear the cry from his wedding party, the bridegroom cometh? Could this be the night that I light the lamp? Could this be the night that I put on my clothes and I go to meet the one that I love and I go to be in his home with a new name and a new life and a new inheritance? Are you picking up what I'm trying to tell you tonight? Hallelujah. Stay with me. Jesus, when he took the cup, said, I'm not going to drink this cup with you for a long time. And then he offered the cup to his disciples. This is so intriguing. According to Jewish tradition, when the disciples took that cup that evening, they were saying yes as the bride to the bridegroom. And as they drank that cup, my friend, they were pledging themselves to a life that was going to wait for the bridegroom to come back. You You see, Jesus is the bridegroom, and His church is the bride. And when we accept the cup, when we accept His blood, for the cup is His blood, read it for yourself, and we allow the blood of the Lamb to flow through our lives and cover us, my friend, we are pledging ourselves in a binding agreement that we are going to wait with great faithfulness until the bridegrooms come back. Hallelujah. That's shouting grounds. That's shouting grounds. Jesus said, I have desired, I have longed to eat this Passover with you, because He knew, Eddie, that He was going to propose marriage to His disciples that night. And then He said, for I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Verse 18, for I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Turn with me to John chapter 14 and verse 1 or verse 2. This is Jesus speaking. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Notice, I go to prepare a place for you. When Jesus died on Calvary, after giving the cup and they receiving the cup, my friend, where did Jesus go? He went to heaven. He went to prepare a place. He went to prepare a home, and He's coming again. My friend, at any moment, we can hear the sound of the trumpet. We can hear, here comes the bridegroom. Are we ready? Are we waiting for the soon and imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ and the bridegroom? Hallelujah. Praise His name. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, now listen, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I want you there because you're my bride, you're my church, and I want you there. Hallelujah. I don't know if this is meaning a thing to you tonight, but it blessed my heart. Jesus said, I'm not going to eat or drink with you in a long time. But know this thing, that if I go, I'm going to prepare a home. I'm going to custom build it just for you. How many of you ladies love mauve and blue? Huh? How many of you ladies love rust, earth tones? Whatever is your thing, God's custom building a place for you. If you want 14,000 bathrooms, God's going to have you 14,000 bathrooms. If you want 14,000 kitchens, God's going to have you 14,000 kitchens. If you want 100,000 refrigerators, God's going to have you 100,000 refrigerators. You say, that's baloney. I want to tell you, my friend, our very hearts is going to be contented. The very desires of our heart, my God, is going to provide for me and for you, because He is the bridegroom and I am the bride of Christ, and He's coming again. My friend, there is going to come a sound from heaven. It's going to be a voice, my friend, and it's going to be heralding the coming of the bridegroom. We, as the bride, we better be ready when He comes. It's good, Bob. You're not shouting much, brother. You get tired of that hot, hard seat, I understand. Now, the question I want to ask you tonight in closing this message, are you doing what the bride was supposed to do? Do you have your windows open? Every midnight, and this is not literal, but are you waiting and looking and longing for the coming of the Lord? Are you keeping yourself undefiled and pure and spotless? Are you being faithful to God? Do you have oil in your lamp? Is your light burning? I preached this morning on the coming of the Lord, watching, being on red alert. and being ready, setting on ready. I mean, your bags packed. You're ready to go. You're ready to meet the Lord. It's a reality, my friend. You and I, we can't stop it. It's going to happen. And it behooves us tonight to be looking and be ready and be watching for the coming of the bridegroom. Bob, I'll just talk to you tonight. There's going to be a day we're going to sit together in heaven. And I believe we're going to have communion. I believe we're going to drink and eat of that Passover once again, because He said, I'm going to eat and drink with you when it's all fulfilled, when it's all finished up. Would you bow your heads tonight? Father, I love You and I thank You for Your presence. I thank You, Lord, that because of Passover You provided us eternal salvation. I thank You, Lord, because of Passover that You have proposed to us marriage. And we have accepted by drinking the cup that's filled with Your blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Lord, You tell us in the book of John that unless we eat of Your flesh and drink of Your blood, that will have no part in the kingdom of God. It's not simply knowing about Jesus. It's not simply knowing the Scriptures. It's not simply knowing about God. It's knowing Jesus. It's knowing God. It's allowing the blood to cleanse us from our sins. And Lord, as we partake of this communion tonight, we're looking back to the sacrifice that You gave for us, the suffering that You endured, that we might have life. And we're looking forward to the day that we'll sit down around the throne and the King's table, and we'll drink again of that cup. The marriage of the Lamb is come. The bride has made herself ready. And we're home forever. Bless this people tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed tonight, I want to ask you a question this evening before we come into these altars. Jesus is offering to us the cup as the Jewish male offered the young lady that he loved. The young man hoped and prayed that she would take the cup. My friend, Jesus is hoping and praying that we will as well take the cup. By doing so, we're saying, Lord, cover me with Your blood. Lord, I want to live for You. I pledge my allegiance to You. There'll be none other. Jesus, You're going to be the most important person in my life, because You're the one that I am a spouse to. Jesus is coming again, and He's coming back to take His bride. Church, I want you to hear one thing tonight for sure. I believe that the construction of heaven is almost complete. The last nails are being driven. The finishing touches are being made. It's about time for the bridegroom to say, "It's finished. I'm going from a bride." It's about time for the bride to hear the voice, "The bridegroom cometh." It's about time for the bride to rise and make herself ready and go to meet the bridegroom. It's about time to go home. It's about time to be in the presence of the Lord forever and forever. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace, and when He takes me by the hand and He leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Would you stand with us tonight, singing it together? Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace, and when He takes me by the hand and He leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day. Your heads are still bowed tonight. I want to ask, is there a one, two, or three here tonight that you've not taken the cup? Your sins are not covered by the blood. You've not given your all to the Lord, to the bridegroom. And if He should come, you would not be ready to meet Him. What about it, young person? Mom or dad, if Jesus the bridegroom would come tonight, before we ever see another dawn, would you wind up in heaven? Would you still be here on earth facing 7 years of the wrath of God? You're here tonight, you say, "Brother Dacus, I don't know for sure if I'm ready to meet the Lord. I want you to pray for me." I want you to lift your hand tonight. We want to pray for you. Is there a hand tonight? You'll slip it up and put it right back down this evening, saying, "Pray for me." Hallelujah. Father, we love you. I want to invite every person to come to the altars tonight. We're going to be receiving, partaking of communion in just a few minutes. Do our visitors want every visitor to feel free to come and partake of the Lord's body and His blood? Would you come?